Book of Ruth, right after the book of Judges.
Let's go ahead and start in verse 1,
and let's read all the way through the chapter.
It says, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lift up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return there after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, I pray your word would be blessed as it goes out today. I pray that your word would go out with power and with strength and with boldness. Lord, whatever your purpose, whatever your design for this meeting today, I pray that it be accomplished. I pray that hearts would be touched. I pray that you'd encourage and bless your people. I pray that those that need to be convicted of sin would be convicted. Those that need to be challenged to live right would be challenged. I pray whatever it is your purpose, that it be accomplished. Lord, we love you and we thank you for allowing us to continue to this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I read the whole chapter because I wanted to talk about three individuals in this chapter this morning. We have three individuals in the book of Ruth. Actually, there's more than that, but there's three that I kind of want to spotlight in. And each one of these three individuals kind of typifies a particular type of person that I want to preach about today. The three people that I'm going to be talking about today are Orpah, Naomi, and Ruth. We just read the story. What had happened is Naomi and her husband, when they were probably very young, had experienced a famine in the land of Israel, and so they packed up their bags and they took off for the land of Moab. You know, it happens like that a lot. The people of God leave the country whenever things are going bad to find better places elsewhere. You find the people of God, the Jews, many times going off into Egypt, going off into Moab, going off into other places, trying to find greener pastures when things aren't going so good at home. Well, there was a famine in the land, and food was hard to come by, so they found out that there was work, there was probably work and food in the land of Moab, so they took off. While they were there, the Bible says that their two sons have gotten married off. Both of them married Moabitess women. And it came to pass that after a while, Naomi's husband died. Years after that, Naomi's two sons died. All she had left after that was her daughters-in-law. Once the men died, she probably lost her income. She probably lost her means of living. It was probably the men that had been taking care of things and supporting, so doubtless she probably didn't have a whole lot of support after that. She was pretty much destitute. She was a widow. She had her daughters-in-law. But they were pretty much in the same boat that she was, and that they had lost their husbands. So she was in pretty dire straits, so to speak. So she decided she was going to up and go back into her own country and maybe get around her own kindred again and maybe find a place to stay and maybe rebuild her life a little bit. And so she told her daughters-in-law, she told them to get out and get back into the land of Moab. She goes, go back to your own houses, to your own people, and try to find, a way of life, trying to find a good way for you. And one of them left, and one of them went back. And one of them decided to stay with Naomi and go back into the land of Israel, and her name was Ruth. And so these are the three women that I'd like to talk about a little bit today. Each one of these kind of characterizes a type of person. I want to pick Orpah first. Orpah is one of Naomi's daughter-in-laws. Orpah, when she learned that Naomi was going to go back into the land of Israel, decided she too. In fact, if you look there in verse 10, chapter 1 and verse 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Orpah was the one, she decided that she was going to go back too. Her and Ruth at first were right in there together, and they decided, we're going to go ahead and leave our country. We're going to go back with you. And yet, Naomi started laying out some of the things that would probably take place. She started telling Orpah, look, I don't have any more sons for you. She says, there's nothing in this land for you. She says, there's nothing more that I can do for you. And even if I could do something for you, I really don't have the power to do anything for you. I'm going back home, but it may be kind of rough for you. Orpah, when she began to look at the circumstances and the situation, decided that it was a little bit too much for her, so she didn't go back with Ruth. She went back into her old land, into the land of Moab. You know what this typifies to me? It shows me the kind of person. When I think about this and I apply it to a particular kind of personality, it's the one who gets about this close to following the Lord. One who gets about this close to saying he's going to serve the Lord or she's going to serve the Lord, and then nothing ever happens. I talk to a lot of people and do some visiting, and I find some people that at least with their mouth are willing to say, yeah, I'll go. I'll go and I'll follow the Lord. I'll go and I'll serve the Lord. But their lives never really amount to anything, and nothing ever happens. Do you know how dangerous it is to come so close to surrendering yourself to follow the Lord and then not doing it? You know how many people I talk to that had opportunities when they were young to surrender themselves to the Lord and they never did it? And now, in their older years, they are bemoaning all those wasted years that they could have done something for God. Several times in the New Testament, you have mentioned this kind of personality. Look in the book of Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, it says in verse 3, He spake many things in them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. He's dealing with a particular type of individual in these types of ground here. And there's an individual that he mentions where the Word of God comes down and the Word of God is sown, it's broadcast out, and it lands on this particular type of ground, which is a type of heart. And what happens is that the seed immediately springs up, and it's like the person who, in fact, he says it over there in the same chapter in verse 20, it says, But he that received seed unto the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." You know, that's a very dangerous type of person to be. Someone who will receive the truth, and maybe you even acknowledge the truth. Maybe you acknowledge that the things in the Bible are right and they're true, but when it comes down to your actual life, you are fine as long as the way is good. You're fine as long as the promises are good. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, you're offended and you go your way and you turn and you go back. You know what Jesus said? He said, "No man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You know, maybe there's someone in this room today. Maybe there's someone sitting here listening to this word is like that. Maybe there was a time when you were this close to calling on the Lord. Maybe there was a time when you were this close to making a decision to turning your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but there was maybe a distraction over here. Maybe somebody talked you out of it. Maybe somebody started talking to you, or maybe you started listening to the voices of the world and you never turned and you never followed Christ, and today you're hurting because of it. You know, no mention is made anymore in the book of Ruth of Orpah. When she said goodbye to Ruth, she said goodbye. She went back into her land. You know, when I think about it, I think when I meet that kind of a person, you just want to do everything in your power, you know, to try to convince them. Maybe to try to turn their mind or to say something. But you know, I'm convinced that it's going to take the Spirit of God to come upon some people's hearts. And some people's hearts, especially, maybe even someone, I have a hard time believing that we could get this many people together and there's not one person in here who has maybe with the mouth said that they were going to follow Christ and never followed it up with action. You know what my prayer is that the Spirit of God would come down on your heart and convict you and would move you. Because there's nothing that I could say or do that would do anything about it. You realize what Orpah could have had? Orpah was in the land of Moab. She was a Gentile. She didn't have any part in the inheritance of Israel. And yet here was an opportunity for this woman to go back with Naomi and maybe have a foothold, maybe have an opportunity, have an inheritance with the people of God. And she turned it down. You know, it just wasn't a light thing for her to turn back. And you know what she got? She got Moab. Does God ever bless Moab? Did God ever put his hand on Moab? Moab was the enemy of Israel. Moab stood against Israel. Oh, she could have been in there with Ruth. She could have been in there in the land. And the same thing, there's some of you men. Do you know what God has done to allow the Gentiles to come into the promise? At one time, the promises of God were for nothing but Jews. The Gentiles had no part in the kingdom of God. The Gentiles had no part in the promises of God. The Gentiles had no part in the inheritance of God. But God did a wonderful thing through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says that God broke down the middle wall of partition that separated the Jew and the Gentile, those that were in the inner court and those that were in the outer court. He broke down that middle wall of partition and he put Jews and Gentiles in one body in the church. The inheritance that we have in Christ is a tremendous inheritance. You know what I see people doing all the time? Taking the inheritance of this world over the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Amen. How foolish could you be to spend your entire life in things that will one day simply pass away and leave off the most important thing in the world, and that's an inheritance and eternal destiny with Jesus Christ himself. I don't know what it was about Moab that attracted her to go back, or what it was that caused her to be so easily talked out of not going. You know, I'm not sure exactly what was going through her mind, but I know what goes through the mind of some people. I know what goes through the mind in today's generation. Don't make the mistake of taking the temporal over the eternal. Don't make a mistake in following something that will pass away over following something that will last for eternity. Are you in that class today? Maybe you know deep down in your heart, maybe you know the truth of God. Maybe you know that the only possible hope for you, that the only possible way is for you to surrender to Jesus Christ. and you're letting these simple, trivial things in this life hold you back, man, don't let anything hold you back from Christ. You see, she just got talked out of it, and she said, okay, that's fine, I'm going back. Well, maybe she really didn't want to desire it in the first place. Maybe she really didn't have any interest in it. And I find that real sad. But that's a dangerous position to be in. Look back there in the book of Ruth. It says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 19, I'm going to skip Ruth and I'm going to come back to her, and I'd like to talk a little bit about Naomi. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. This is the type of person that is unlike Orpah. She decided she was going to do what was right, and what was right is probably that she would go back to her own land and among her own people. Some people say that they're going to follow the Lord, and they never back it up. Naomi, she went ahead and did what she was supposed to. She went back to her people. She followed. But looking at hearing what comes out of her mouth, you never would have guessed that she was a follower of the God of Israel. You never would have guessed that she had any kind of inheritance in a nation so great as Israel. You know what she says? She says, the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. They came and they said, is this Naomi? You understand, they couldn't even recognize her. Tell you what, bitterness will do that a lot of times. Bitterness will change you into a person and people won't even recognize who you are. Is this Naomi? She goes, no, don't call me Naomi. You know what Naomi means? It means pleasantness. You know what Mara means? It means bitter. She goes, call me bitter. Change my name to bitter. Everything in my life is bitter. I don't want to be called anything but bitter. You remember me? Remember me as the bitter woman. You know, she said, call me Mara. Here was a woman who was consumed in her grief. Well, she had some reason, I guess, to be grieving. She lost a husband. She lost two sons. She had gone out full, the Bible says. Now she came back in empty. Oh, she had a little bit of reason, I guess, to be down and to be maybe discouraged, like the brother was talking about. Half of the verses in the middle of this outline he already preached. Oh, but you know something? She had no need to have that kind of stuff coming out of her mouth. Call me Mara. You know what she is typifies? What kind of person she typifies? One who grudgingly serves the Lord. You do everything that you're supposed to do. You go to church, but you do it grudgingly. You give your money, but you do it grudgingly. You do the work of the Lord and you read your Bible, but you don't do it with any joy. You don't do it with any happiness. You do it out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of obligation, and you don't really get anything out of it. You know, that's almost as sad as the person who turns away and never knows what he missed. The one who turns away and never has an inheritance is the one who has an inheritance in God and doesn't enjoy it. Do you realize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize what Naomi had in Israel and she could have enjoyed if she'd only got her eyes off of these things? Notice some things about her. In fact, I want to take just a minute and take you to a couple of her kinfolks. Look over in the book of Exodus. Look in the book of Exodus in chapter 15 for a minute. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, and when they came to Mara, they could not drink the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet, and there were made a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. You know, it's funny that the children of Israel, in their wilderness journey, came to an oasis. And I'm sure they had been looking forward to getting some water. They came to this oasis, and when they came to this oasis, they started drinking the water, but it was bitter, it was bad water, they couldn't drink it, so right away they started in bitterness, and they started complaining. And you know, it was interesting, not so much the fact that they complained, not so much the fact that they were down because of the water, not so much the fact that they even murmured because of the water, I can understand all that, but when you understand where they had just come from, you know where these guys just came from? They just came from Egypt. You know what happened in Egypt? God destroyed the greatest army that the world had ever seen up to that time. The Egyptian army was gone in the depths of the Red Sea. The people, every single one of them in the land of Egypt, had a firstborn dead. Most of the cattle had been destroyed. Most of the crops had been ruined because of all the different plagues. There were still frog bodies and locust bodies sitting all over that land. It was a mess. And God had brought them out, and not only did God deliver them, but God made all these Egyptians throw them their gold and their silver. Hey, Hebrews, get this! You know, they were just throwing all their riches, loading them up, and they went away and they spoiled the Egyptians. And they got to the place right there by the Red Sea, and they got trapped in there, and the Egyptian army was on this side, and the big Red Sea was on that side. And they go, well, this is it. We're done now. We're finished. You know what they said then? Man, Moses, why'd you bring us out here to die? It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. But the Lord, in a miraculous way, opened up that Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. They got to the other side and they were free. 430 years of slavery and now they were free. They didn't have the Egyptians to worry about anymore. Not only that, but God said, if you walk through this wilderness, on the other side, there's a land that flows with milk, and it flows with honey, and there will be your God. And every place that the sole of your foot touches, that's going to be yours. I'm going to be with you, and everything's going to be good. They had a tremendous promise from God. They had the power of God demonstrated in their lives by delivering them out of Egypt. And then they get to this little oasis. And they said, it's Marah. Oh man, this water is bitter to drink. I can't understand why God would do something. They murmured against God. You know, when you look at it in the context, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, it doesn't actually make a whole lot of sense that us, that we as born again Christians with an eternal inheritance should spend our time saying, oh, poor me, woe is me, the Lord is against me. You know, Jacob was another man. Look over in Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter 37, it says in Genesis chapter 37, after he heard of the death of Joseph, it says, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, saying, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Look at chapter 42 and verse 36. It says, and Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children, Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take away Benjamin away, all these things are against me. You know, it's an interesting thing what God was doing with the children of Israel back there in the wilderness. He was delivering them so that they could live for Him. It's an interesting thing what God was doing back there in Genesis with Jacob's family. He had orchestrated these things so that Joseph could get to be where he was, so that the land of Egypt could provide for them the things that they need, so Jacob and his family wouldn't die in the famine, that they could continue on and God could ultimately bring Israel into the land of Canaan. And you know what comes out of Jacob's mouth? All these things are against me. You know what happens when you walk around in a bitter attitude and a bitter spirit? You'll be just like Jacob, just like Naomi, and just like the children of Israel, you will exaggerate everything around you. Isn't that the case when you get a little down, when you start looking down at the ground too much, that your problems start getting a whole lot bigger than they otherwise would be? All of a sudden, when you start repeating your woes and when you start repeating all the burdens you have, you start embellishing it a little bit. And it seems like life is so hard for you and everything is so grievous for you. Oh, you know something? When we get into that state, we tend to magnify things that have no business being magnified. We tend to exaggerate those things that have no business exaggerated. Come on, Jacob. Really, Jacob, is it true that all these things are against you? Is it really true? Well, of course not. We find that at the end of the book of Genesis when Joseph says, you thought to do me evil, but God meant it for good to bring it past this day, to bring much people alive. Amen. You thought you were doing evil, but God meant it for good. She just desires to be miserable, I guess. I guess it's like some Christians. Maybe you feel better. Maybe you feel better when you feel bad. Is that the truth? Maybe you're so used to feeling bad, you don't know what it's like to feel good. I'm sorry, brother, I'm talking about feelings. Maybe isn't it the truth? Get to feeling a little bit down and all of a sudden things are worse. Man, things are not as bad as you imagine them to be. Don't ever make any decisions when you're in a place like this right here. Don't make any major decisions about your life when you're like this right here. You know something else about Ruth? Was that everything she said was directed back to her. Everything she said in her bitterness was directed back to her. You know what I find when Christians get into bitterness and get into discouragement? If they think there's some grand conspiracy against them. I'm serious. There are some Christians that are so bad, if they walk outside and it's raining outside, they say, "Man, I knew it. God's raining down on me." And they don't look at all the other people around in the neighborhood that it's also raining on at the same time. You know, you need to get it in your head that things are not focused in on you. You know, there's no grand conspiracy against you. What was that? Come on, man. I'm paranoid anyway. Don't. I think just about everybody's out to get me anyway. Look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. It says in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." You need to think about that for a minute. You need to get that principle down, or else you'll end up just like Elijah, off there in the middle of nowhere, and saying, "Man, I only am faithful to the Lord. I'm the only one left." And God has to show him that he has 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Get this in your head right now, that there is absolutely nothing that you experience, that you go through, that somebody else has not already gone through. You realize something else? That what you are going through right now, somebody else has gone through in the past, and God has brought somebody through what you're going through now that you don't think you can get through it. Naomi had a real problem. She had a problem in that she just desired to be bitter. She just had this desire in her heart. "Man, just call me Mara. These things are against me. All these things are too much." And she let it cloud everything that she does. You know, it really ruins your focus. Because then when you let one of these little things get blown out of proportion, then all of a sudden everything else in life is bad too. You can't even enjoy the good because you're feeling so bad. I tell you what Naomi should have done. She should have taken an example from Ruth. Ruth is the third person in this chapter that I'd like to talk about. I'll tell you what Naomi should have done is she should have concentrated. Look, go back, go to your own people, don't follow me. She says this in verse 16. "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Whether thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking to her. You know, I'm sure it wasn't easy for Ruth to follow in Naomi's tracks back there to the land. She'd never been there before. It was a strange land to her. It was something different. She was leaving her family. She was leaving her country behind. But she said, "Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you live, that's where I'm going to live. Your God is going to be my God." You know that same kind of identification we need to have with the Lord Jesus Christ? The way that Ruth followed Naomi is the way that you ought to follow Jesus Christ. Where you go, I'm going to go. Not like Naomi. She went and she followed. She went back into the land. She did what she was supposed to do. But it was with bitterness and complaining the whole time. You know, God doesn't enjoy when you obey with a bitter attitude. A wife doesn't enjoy when a husband comes in and says, "Honey, I really hate to hug you. I really don't want to hug you. But the Bible says I got to hug you, so I'm going to give you a big hug right now. Now don't you feel better?" Oh, come on, man, that's not realistic. Or the wife, she goes up to husband, "Honey, you smell bad, you're ugly, I'm not attracted to you, but God says that I must show my affection to you, so here you go, you know, here's your hug for the day. You get another one tomorrow. At 4:45, we meet here, you get another one." You think God enjoys that kind of behavior? You know, it's almost better that you don't even do it at all, because the people back in the land of Israel, they looked at Naomi and they saw her and they said, "Man, can this even be the same woman that we used to know? Was this the woman that went out full? Was this the woman that went out with a happy attitude, with a song on her lips? No, she's coming back and she's broadcasting everywhere how miserable she is and how bad things are for her." But you know, Ruth followed into land where she didn't know where she was going. I tell you what, we as Christians ought to take Ruth's example. It doesn't matter where Jesus Christ leads me. I ought to be willing to follow him there. We get so caught up with self-centeredness. Maybe that was Naomi's problem. She was so worried about herself and the fact that she'd lost her husband, she'd lost her son-in-laws. Man, that was everything to her, and now she had nothing else to live for. But Ruth, she had a little bit different perspective on the matter. Ruth's perspective was not in her husband, which was now deceased, although I'm sure Ruth was probably experiencing the same loss. Did you know that Ruth lost a father-in-law? Ruth lost a brother-in-law? Ruth lost a husband? Ruth lost the same things that Naomi lost. Ruth was experiencing those same feelings. Yet when she decided to do her dwelling, she dwelt on those things that would be good. You're going back to the land, I'm going to go back there with you. You know, I think sometimes we follow the voice of the flesh a whole lot more than we follow the Lord. Isn't that true? Oh, the flesh starts to get down, the flesh starts to get whipped. Man, there sure are discouragements out there. Man, brother was speaking this morning, he was going through that lesson. I'm sure glad he got to a good part, because when he was going through David, my shoulders were kind of going lower and lower. I said, man, that's true. That is really bad. Oh, man, that's terrible. You know, you do the same thing on the 5 o'clock news. Oh, man. Oh, no. Oh, man. You get all the way down there and you all droop down after watching the 5 o'clock news, and then somebody comes in and tells you, hey, dinner's ready. No, 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 the national news is coming on. You want more of it, don't you? But you enjoy feeling bitter, don't you? Oh, but listen, let me tell you something about Ruth. Ruth had an attitude of trust that the Christians ought to have. How many people know Psalm 23? One of the most famous psalms around. Everybody knows Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Bible says, he restoreth my soul. And another part of that psalm, it says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There are some people that I wouldn't follow a city block, because I know they'd run me into error. They'd drown me off. They'd take me off into a way that I didn't want to go. There are people I don't trust to follow. Even the people that I trust to follow, I have a hard time trusting to follow. But I tell you what, I don't fear to follow the Lord. I really don't fear following the Lord. I know he's not going to lead me off into sin. I know that he will not lead me into a place that is away from his presence. Every place that he leads me will be a path of righteousness. He will lead me only in those ways and only in those directions that will please him. Don't hold back from following the Lord. Don't hold back from giving everything you've got to follow God, because you won't be disappointed in the end. You know what she did also? She made a clean break from those things that were behind her. Many of those things that get us down and get us bitter and get us whipped are things that are already in the past that we can't do anything about anyway. Can you change yesterday? Can you go back and fix that failure that you experienced yesterday? Can you go back and do it all over again? But for months, you'll be running it over and over again in your mind. If only I had done this. If only I had. Do you realize that you can't go back one single day? But you can go forward as many days as the Lord allows you to live, trusting the Lord. Don't look back. Don't allow the failures or the experiences of the past keep you from going forward. You know, something about Ruth that it reminds me that we ought to be as Christians is, while Naomi was concentrated on all those things that were happening to her, and she was concentrated on all those bad things that were taking place in her life, the only thing that Naomi was talking about, or the only thing that Ruth was talking about, was following Naomi. I want to go where you go. I want to lodge where you lodge. I want your God to be my God. And you know, I think if we're more caught up with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're more caught up with him than with these things that are going on around us, you know, we may have an easier time following. How can you be disappointed if you're caught up with Jesus himself? Now, you may be disappointed with what comes from his hand, because it may not be what you think you deserved, or it may not be the path where you expected to go, or it may not be the direction that you wanted to be in. But for him himself, for his character, for his nature, how can you be disappointed? How can you be disappointed with a God who spent everything he had and left the glories of heaven to die for your sins and to shed his blood so that you might be clean? How can you possibly be disappointed with a God like that? Oh, I'll be disappointed as long as I have false expectations of God. But I'll tell you, Ruth wanted to follow. She wanted to follow. She had a direction. She had a set goal she wanted to do. That one thing, and it allowed her to overcome these other things. How about getting a fresh picture this morning of Jesus Christ? How about opening up that Bible once again? I know you've closed it for a long time, but open up that Bible once again and get a fresh picture of who Jesus Christ is to you. Why don't you go back through some of the epistles, go back through some of the gospels, and see some of the things that Jesus has done, and get a fresh vision and a fresh awe of Him. If I love Him, I want to follow Him. If I love Him, I want to please Him. If I love Him, I want to desire to do those things that He desires. Though the way be hard, and some of the things that come into your life you don't agree with and make you bitter and down, you know, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in the paths of discouragement. You don't have to stay in those bondage. You can turn and feel free.
I was thinking about a verse in the book of Ephesians, and I'll close on this one. I hope I've at least in some way made clear of some of the points that I was trying to make, but look at the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." You know, you have a tremendous before and after picture right here. You know what God says you were before? You were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, some of you in this room today, you are still dead in trespasses and sins. You still walk according to the course of this world. You're still fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You're still walking in those ways that are going to lead to everlasting destruction. But praise God, there's a God who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, that same God of mercy is here today ready to forgive your sins if you'd call upon his name. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There is no creature in the universe that loves you more than God loves you. There is no one who is more concerned with your welfare than God is concerned with your welfare. There's no one who desires to see you surrender to him and to live for him than he does. There would be nobody in the universe that would have greater pleasure to see you bow your knee and surrender to Jesus Christ. Will you maybe take the very last opportunity you have to call upon God? Will you surrender yourself to him and serve him? Will you, if you have never been saved, go to him for the forgiveness of sins and for the cleansing of your soul? The Bible says he's raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something about eternity. You have no idea what's going to take place in eternity. I really don't have any idea what God is going to do in eternity. But when we cross the valley of that shadow of death and we stand before God and we live with him forever, I'm telling you, it's not going to be just this simple thing where we float around on little clouds. We strum harps. We have halos on our head. We never do anything. We're just relaxed all the time. That's not going to be it at all. You know what the Bible says about eternity? His servants shall serve him. The Bible says that he is going to use you in the ages to come to show forth his glory. Someone who is dead in trespasses and sins. And now one day in the future, you'll be showing forth his glory. That's a tremendous transformation. And if you've called on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is yours already now. I tell you what we need to do as Christians. We need to live more in the light of that. You need to live more in the light of who you are and what God has already made out of you. And if you've never been saved, my friend, call upon him before it's too late. Call upon him while right now he's tugging on your heart. You know, the Bible says that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come to him?
He won't cast you out. Christian friend, will you come to Him and find the need for your soul today? Will you come to Him so that He can lift you from the bonds of discouragement, for He can lift you from the bonds of bitterness? Oh, avail yourself of Jesus Christ today. Let's sing 249 in the hymnal. Let's stand up and sing number 249.